Welcome back to the narrow pod between pages, where we read Patrick Rothfuss's novella, The Narrow Road Between Desires, one page at a time. We've never read these pages before, and then we talk about it. This is page 192, almost at the end. Expressions. What about Jessam's family? He asked, plainly worried. Will Martin come after them? The men at the bar shook their heads in concert. Martin is crazy, old Cobb said, but he's not that sort, not to go after a woman or her wee ones. I heard he punched that tinker because he was making himself familiar with young Jenna, Graham said. The group grumbled indistinctly at that, sounding like thunder in the distance. After it faded, there was a moment's quiet. Nah, old Cobb said softly, weren't that. Everyone in the room turned to look at him, surprised. They'd known Cobb all their lives, enough to hear every story he knew. The idea that he might have held something back was almost unthinkable. I caught the tinker after he'd done most of his trading, Cobb said, not looking up from his beer. I'd waited, as I wanted to ask after some items. They were personal-like. He paused for a moment, then sighed and shrugged. He ran his mouth a bit on the subject, Cobb swallowed. And, well, you know me. I told him he better mind his tone. The old man went quiet again. And he sort of pushed me. And I weren't expecting it, so I fell over. And I ended the page. I am Amrita.
I'm Joy.
I'm RJ. Welcome to, unlike... This Waystone is all women, unlike the Waystone of the book, which is pretty much only all dudes all the time.
Ladies,
it's a real sausage fest.
Oh, yeah, it is. You're right.
Unless, girls like, night. Girls' Night at the Waystone. Ladies get half off.
That's the name of our new podcast, Girls' Night
no
at the
No single
Waystone.
Man allowed.
Okay, so I this is one of the, it sounds strange to say this is one of the instances I really wish we could go on, because there have been so many, I feel like, more dramatic moments. But right now I'm like, well, what is old Cobb about to tell them about the tinker?
Right.
I'm really interested in this, and also interested in what items do you think Cobb was buying that were personal-like?
Mm-hmm.
That's such a weird thing to say. Like, what is he ashamed of buying?
I think I know for a fact that Quoth has mentioned, like, impotence cures before.
Right.
And that's probably Quoth the first thing I could think of.
Quoth was, like, impersonating some royal someone or the other, and he pretended to need an impotence cure.
Mm-hmm. And he was buying stuff for it.
He was impersonating.
I don't think it was anyone in particular.
No.
It was, I think, in Ventus, he was buying other things.
Right.
Maybe.
So he was buying cures for the mayor, but he was pretending to be looking for impotence cures to throw people off.
Yeah.
Yes.
But correct. For someone Quoth's age, it's like a little whatever. But for Cobb's age, makes more sense. Anyway, I'm just like, maybe that's like the best thought, RJ, that I could come up with. I have no thoughts about what Cobb would be ashamed to buy.
Well, Bill is helping to helping fill our empty female brains by suggesting that when Cobb asks items that were personal-like, Bill makes a good point that this could be not, like, we're thinking, you know, bedroom stuff or whatever, but items that he might have, heirlooms or something the tinker has, something he has. I'm not, someone save me. I'm not doing this very well.
Yeah, I don't. John from Ventus says, or maybe something for a lady friend. Okay. I mean, yeah. I get it. Like, I don't know what the in-world version of, like, going to the drugstore and being embarrassed by condoms is, but maybe that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, it could be because Quoth, what's it called? Silphium or whatever that Quoth choose to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
To prevent himself
when he's and
we can't get a woman pregnant.
And my least favorite chapter about the man mothers.
I love the man mother chapter.
I don't. Me too. I don't like it.
I love it.
My least favorite chapter is definitely the one where Quoth is bloodily murdering the troop.
I do hate that one.
Uh huh.
The one I hate the most is when he and Davy are fighting, actually, but I really do not like the Man Mothers one. I just don't.
Okay, here's what I like about the Man Mothers.
Please.
So I think it's just lovely how, like, it really drives home the point that if someone starts off with a different set of beliefs than you do,
mm-hmm.
it can be almost impossible to convince them about what you think is right. Because mm-hmm. they need to agree with you on some, like, very basic axioms.
Right.
So, like, the Adam just have the, like, you know, the women are always chewing something that makes them not conceive. And if they want to conceive, they stop chewing it. And then they conceive because they're also having sex all the time. So if you believe that A, people have sex all the time, and, like, why wouldn't they? And B, if you stop doing that, you get pregnant. Like, you can't, like, logic someone out of that. And that just, it's a beautiful, like,
mm-hmm.
fantasy setup of something that it shows me, like, you know, when we, like, sometimes these days people can be, like, really in their own, like, echo chambers with social mm-hmm. media and everything. And so I think it can be very hard to talk across these different sets of beliefs that you have about the world, because that's all the knowledge around you. Everyone believes the same thing as you do. They keep reinforcing you. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I agree. I really agree with you. And I also just think it's hilarious that, of course, Quoth hates logic and rhetoric. And this is, like, the basically he does, like, false analogy in that moment. And he's like, maybe if he had taken that topic a little more seriously, he would have had a more convincing argument. Instead of being like, you know, humans are not like kittens or rocks or, you know, like, that humans are humans. So whatever. I don't know. I just think it's really funny and like cracks open a little piece of human nature mm-hmm. that is very entertaining.
It definitely really hammers home that Quoth is finally learning that lesson, that there not everything you grew up with is not everyone's worldview, and sometimes, you know. Yeah. So let's get back to this page, which is page 192, because I feel like there's I really want to know what Cobb's story is. And I think, yeah, these could be any, he could be trying to buy lingerie for his lady. He could be trying to, you know, buy Tamarant Viagra.
Okay. So now this paragraph, it makes a little more sense to me now that we have, like, some suggested contraband, personal items. I really couldn't picture anything before. So he ran his mouth a bit on the subject and Cobb told him to mind his tone. Okay. So the tinker shamed Cobb for whatever he was asking for.
What if it was like a hair, you know, what if Cobb's trying to get, like, you know what I mean? Like the thick, no, but like, what if, you know, it might be snake oil, it might not, but there's someone's got an oil somewhere. If you rub it on your head, it's going to make your hair grow back. Cobb's like, I got to get me some of that.
Elixir.
Cobb has definitely seen one of those TV ads.
Yeah, or he can't poop.
Why would the tinker run his mouth on that topic? If you're constipated.
Okay, here's a question for you guys.
Please.
Do either of you feel like Rothfuss is, like, tying up the bow too neatly here? Like, all the loose ends are really well taken care of. Like, okay, Jessam's gonna go, he's never gonna come back, he's not dead, and Martin is never going to go after his family because he's actually a good guy. And why do we know he's a good guy? Because he actually, like, there was a reason for going after the tinker. I don't know. I just feel like everything is too neat.
I think,
you know, and
I think in the context of the short story, The Lightning Tree, we needed that kind of like neat little wrap up. And we also got this wrap up, although in a much shorter version in The Lightning Tree. And I'm really curious to see, because we didn't get this explanation, I don't think, about the Tinker pushing Cobb before. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a Tinker would not push Cobb just because he had like a light disagreement. We see all the Tinkers in the books being like, you know, jovial and like willing to have a dicker. So...
Right. Right. Unless Cobb was rude to him first. I've been, because I think I know what kind of story the main story is. I kind of feel like there's a shoe that's going to drop out of nowhere, but we only have 15, 16 pages left. So it's like, right. What else is going to happen and then be resolved, right? What else?
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'm waiting for that. Like, that's the kind of thing that I love and expect from this series now. And this is just too perfect.
I do think that he's giving, like, all the extra stuff that he put in here is just, like, book three, like, things that we're going to come back after having read book three and be like... Oh, I see what you did there. Like, I think he's peppering in a bunch of stuff that we're going to later appreciate.
Maybe. Because, I don't know. And Bill points out that Lightning Tree ends happily on a, you know, something about, it's like Reich's mom... finds the queen of the beehives and shows she's able to make honey. And I was thinking about that too. And again, we have 15, 16 pages between here and ostensibly there. What's going to happen? I mean, what else? We'll see. I feel like something else with the Embrils or something. We'll see Reich again, or maybe we'll see Kostril again, or something. I think there's going to be one more little nifty little twist.
Yeah.
Nifty little twist.
And now that I'm thinking about it, like, I feel like one of the points here is that, like, Bast is an artist. And so in his day, he's managed to sort of take a horrible situation and, like, really nudge things in the right direction to, you know, pull it off very
nice
perfectly.
Point.
But I don't know. I just feel like maybe something should have been left ambiguous. Like, we didn't need to be told that Martin is just crazy enough that he would beat Jessam up if he ever came back, but he won't go after the family. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's too much. But I'm happy to leave it there and, like, take it as it comes.
It seems like the right ending for just kind of a happy slice of life story, but maybe that is all this is.
Yeah.
Maybe we're getting that viewpoint because this is Bass' story and he thinks this story is going to have a happy ending.
Mm.
But really, it's going to have a horrible ending.
But really, everyone dies and Ari does it.
Oh, God.
And readers.
Little Summer Bass.
Readers, we will end your royal line. Narrow.
Page. Oh, you did nothing wrong.
Yet. Yeah.
No, Ari did nothing. Oh my
she
God.
She put poison in the soap.
Page.
Page.